Chronicles, the Second Chronicles, Second Chronicles, chapter number 31. Second Chronicles, chapter 31. Be reading just two verses, verse 20 and 21. Verse number 20 says, "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered." Heavenly Father, O God, as we come before you tonight, Lord, as we look at Hezekiah and we take lesson from him, oh God, that we would look at our life, we'd look at our church, and Lord, make the proper preparations and the necessary adjustments, that Lord, your work will go on no matter what. Lord, bless tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hezekiah was a great king. His notable quality was his complete and total trust in God. He's a great leader of his people. He prayed, and when he prayed, God answered prayer and preserved Israel, Judah from invasion against many enemy forces. He lived and reigned for about a total of 54 years. And his name, as we looked at Hezekiah several months ago, Yahweh is my strength. And as I was preparing for tonight and looking at this and understanding that it was normal to consider and name your child something that they would then take as a life goal or a purpose. And Hezekiah's parents named him this, even though his dad was not very righteous, didn't follow after God. It's interesting, though, that Hezekiah took his name and he applied it. All of the life and times of his reign and what he did is recorded here in 2 Chronicles. It's recorded in 2 Kings. It's recorded in Isaiah. And he was a very good king. In fact, he's one of the few that were ever used as an example of following after David, his father. Hezekiah has the awesome deal, and almost feels the same anymore today, of taking on a job when it is less than desirable. As Hezekiah inherits his father's position, as he is made king, he inherits a nation that is completely overrun by idolatry and poverty. His father Ahaz was the first king to institute pagan worship. He placed idols in all the high places. Ahaz also pledged his allegiance to every king he could come across and drained his finances. The nation taxed the nation and took all of their money trying to pay for these kings to protect them from outside enemies. I often wonder if Hezekiah comes to the point in his life where he is now the king and he's going, "Wow, Dad, look what you left me. Thank you so much." And looked at his options, looked at the status of his nation, looked at the ability of his nation and said, "We don't have anything." Unfortunately for us today, we wind up doing the same thing. We start looking at what we have, and we start going, "Well, boy, I'm at the end of my rope. I tie the knot, it's a slip knot, I guess I better trust in God soon. It doesn't say that that's the decision and the thought pattern that Hezekiah came to, but it's obvious that he made a decision for God. And he said, I don't care what my dad did. I'm going to do what God says to do. And I like verse number 20 because it says, throughout all Judah. He didn't just say, okay, I have control in this area and in this small little part. He's the king of Judah and he has authority, but he didn't just limit himself. He said throughout all Judah. But he didn't just do what kings do. It says he wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. He didn't care about what anybody else was saying. He didn't care about what anybody else was doing. He didn't care about what the king of Assyria was threatening with. He didn't care about any of that stuff. He said, what's God see? Once Hezekiah assumed his throne, the events begin to happen very quickly. Have you ever noticed that in your life? When you make a decision, when you take a responsibility, when you decide this is what I'm going to do, and all of a sudden, nothing seems to be going right. You often wonder, if I hadn't made that decision, I wonder if I would have still had this challenge. But oh, now that I've made the decision, which way is my character going to take me? Hezekiah reopens the temple, removes the high places, he destroys all the sacred pillars and idolatrous images, he reinstitutes the religious festivals, he refuses to submit to Syria. When Syria invades Judah, Hezekiah prays to his God. And the miraculous work that God does on his behalf. If that were to happen today, what would we write that off as? Would we throw ourselves on the mercy of God and go, look, I don't have any money to buy this guy off. I don't have anything to bring any armies in to protect us. I'm stuck with you guys. Sounds really, it makes him want to jump all over whatever problem you got, doesn't it? I don't believe that Hezekiah threw himself on God and go, well, you're all I got left. I guess I'll try you. It says in everything, throughout all Judah. Hezekiah becomes ill and God answers his prayer. Devotion grants him an additional 15 years of life. And if you've ever studied the life of Hezekiah, you understand that that 15 years of life was not necessarily a blessing. Mm-hmm. But God continues to bless his devotion. Judah becomes a very prosperous nation. And Hezekiah's fame spreads throughout the land. And he displays his nation's wealth to the son of the nation, of the king of Babylon. Offending God. Because he took credit for something that he didn't do. The prophet Isaiah, and if you study the passage between Isaiah 36 and 39, the prophet Isaiah comes, rebukes him for exercising poor judgment. You ever notice that pride and poor judgment seem to go hand in hand? Then we see as he dies that his son, Manasseh, reigns in his place. There's 4 points in Hezekiah's reign that we need to look at, and then there's 4 points in his life that we need to look at. First of all, in 2 Chronicles 29, chapters 29 through 31, we see Hezekiah's focus is on worship. The first year of his reign, Hezekiah reopens the temple that was closed during the reign of his evil father. He calls for the people of Jerusalem to celebrate a 7 days celebration of Passover. And the joy is so great over this that it continues for an additional 7 days. When's the last time in the church today do we get excited about something so much so that it continues forward for another 7 days? This coming year, I'm looking forward to and working on setting up a revival, probably do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday revival meetings. Looking forward to doing a missions conference, same thing, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But what kind of revival would we have to go, okay, on Sunday, Pastor, we're not done yet, can we come back tomorrow night? On Tuesday, Pastor, we're not done yet, can we come back tomorrow night? On Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, for 7 more days. You know, oh, Pastor, you know, I got a job. I've got commitments. I have things. The kids have school. I understand that. What's the difference between now and then? Do we lack the joy of serving God? Do we lack the joy of celebrating what God did in our life? The people were so removed by revival that they went home and into their own homes and destroyed the idols and the shrines that they had set up that the kings before them had caused them to have. They cleaned a polluted land. Revival. Second thing, we see that Hezekiah's prayers are for the honor of God. He was not concerned in his prayers about whether or not he got the best. 14th year of rule, a massive Assyrian army invades Judah, surrounds Jerusalem. The message comes. They tell the people, don't trust in this God. Don't trust in Hezekiah. He's lying to you. No God has been able to stand up before you, and your God will be powerless to save you. Hezekiah immediately jumps on Google and starts searching for ways to get around it. No. Takes the message and goes before God and says, God, look what they're saying about you. Look at what they're talking about you. Look at what they're saying. And God, are you going to let that happen? Praise that God would affirm His power. Praise that God would not allow His name to be held in contempt. Praise that God would do mightily. That night, 185,000 Assyrian soldiers are killed, die in their sleep. The king retreats in shame and defeat. Third thing we see in Hezekiah's dying request is answered is after the defeat, and Hezekiah becomes deathly ill, and the prophet Isaiah comes to him and says, put your house in order. Got a phone call the other day. Got a letter in the mail. Have you ever considered pre-planning your funeral? Only when I had this crazy idea to irritate my wife, that was part of my pre-planning process. Because she knows not only where I sleep, but when I sleep. But the prophet comes and says, get ready to die. Hezekiah's response to the get ready to die is prayer. Hezekiah's response is to say, God, you remember, I I've trusted in you, I've followed after you, I've been devoted to you. Do what's right. God responds and gives him additional 15 years. Hezekiah asks for a sign, and he doesn't ask for a sign. God, if you heal me, can I get out of bed? Help me keep dinner down today, whatever. He says, can I go up to the house of the Lord? God turns the shadow of the sun 10 degrees as his sign, and Hezekiah gets up off his deathbed. The fourth thing we see that we ought to take note of in his reign is Hezekiah's pride in the rebuke. With the news of his miraculous healing, and news like that is going to travel fast. Hey, the king of Judah is fixing to die. The king of Judah is not going to die. He's up. He's walking around. Rumor has it he's got another 15 years. The king's around. I'm sure curious. What does he know that we don't know? What person who has gotten into power doesn't have the idea of, oh, if I can only extend this just a little while longer. Oh, another 15 years. Boy, what I could do. I'm sure the king of Assyria is thinking, wow, if I had another 15 years, we could get some more stuff done. We could take one more country. King of Babylon sends and Hezekiah foolishly shows off his nation's wealth. I don't need your gifts. I don't need what you have. Look at what I've accumulated during my time here. As a rebuke, Isaiah comes and tells him that in the future, Babylon will destroy Israel. Prophecy fulfilled in 586 BC with the destruction of Jerusalem, the deportation of its people, burning of the temple. Hezekiah's character stands in sharp contrast to his father, though. Ahaz believed the gods of other nations, and Hezekiah believed and trusted in the one true God. There's four things we ought to look at, though, in his other part. In spite of all his issues with being prideful, Hezekiah brought around major spiritual reformation. He just lacked one important, one very important quality. He lacked a vision for the future spiritual condition of the nation. He was, during his lifetime, during his time, it says he did that which was good. And every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. Wasn't half-hearted in anything he did. But he took very few steps to preserve the sweeping reform that he had set up. And worse than that, he failed in the one area that he had the most need of. He's the king of Judah. He has taken and led the people in a great and mighty revival.